Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Two Fairbanks men were killed in a plane crash. Alaska State Troopers report that 45-year-old Timothy Sonnenberg and 43-year-old Jason Roberts were on a hunting trip when their plane went down south of Gold Creek in the Nenana River area. The men were reported overdue on Friday, and the burned wreckage of their aircraft was spotted Saturday by another pilot. A helicopter crew dispatched from the Alaska Rescue Coordination Center yesterday to recover the men's bodies. A missing Fort Wainwright soldier was found dead Saturday at the Harding Lake campground. Troopers say foul play is not suspected in the death of 22-year-old Private Mason Heimer, who had been missing since September 17th. Troopers say they went to the campground after getting a report about an abandoned truck and found Heimer dead inside. They say Heimer's body was sent to the state medical examiner for autopsy. A new contract for Fairbanks City firefighters is on the city council's agenda tonight. There'll be a public hearing and a council vote on the 84-page collective bargaining agreement. Chief of Staff Mike Meeks says the new contract would be subject to annual review.
The total package is a 2.3% increase for the first year and then open the second year and the third year for renegotiations on wages.
City firefighters have been working under the terms of a three-year arbitrator's award approved in 2016, but last year the council voted not to fund the second and third years of that award. Scott Ragor, who heads the International Association of Firefighters Local 1324, which represents the downtown and university fire department, says a tentative agreement was ready for approval in July, but that too was rejected by the council. Ragor says staffing was the key issue.
And that was the biggest thing that came out of the no vote from the city council here in July out of our first T8 agreement was moving towards the full-time staffing of a second ambulance to help the citizens out.
Ragor says negotiations this summer resulted in the contract before the council tonight.
It was a pretty good negotiations this time around when both negotiating teams came together. They both had a positive goal of accomplishing something to get a good outcome in the end.
The city's Meeks points to staffing and administrative adjustments that will save the city about $107,000.
For example, three captains' positions were changed from captain to senior driver. That was a huge savings for us. We're not going to be buying linen anymore. We've changed some of the clothes that we purchased in the city, so we won't be buying some of that anymore. So there's a lot of things that they gave up.
The firefighters' union's Ragor says he's still concerned about capacity to handle a rising number of medical emergency calls in the city and hopes grant funds can cover the cost of staffing a second ambulance. There's been another incursion of airspace off Alaska by Russian military aircraft. The North American Air Defense Command identified and tracked four Russian planes that entered the Alaskan Air Defense Identification Zone Friday. It was the third Russian flight through the identification zone that NORAD responded to this month, but this time it only monitored the aircraft and did not intercept them with Alaska-based fighters. A NORAD news release issued Friday says it monitored two groups of Tu-142 maritime reconnaissance, an anti-submarine aircraft. NORAD says the aircraft did not enter U.S. or Canadian airspace. NORAD scrambled F-22 Raptor fighter jets out of Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson on September 1st and again on September 11th to intercept Russian Tu-95 bombers that entered the identification zone. Facing a December 2019 deadline to substantially reduce local fine particulate pollution, the Fairbanks North Star Borough hosted an annual air quality conference Friday and Saturday. And as KUAC's Robin reports, a lot of work remains to be done.
Wendy Mannon of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Woodburners took the microphone at the conference to tell regulators that people in our cold climate won't stop burning wood, even if their health depends on it.
How are we asking woodburners to give up the only source of heat they have so that other people aren't paying exorbitant health care costs? Because health care is so expensive, it is now the woodburners' fault because other people can't afford health care.
And health does depend on it. Jennifer Gleason-Schmidt worked for years as a nurse in Fairbanks.
Hospital admissions increase for cardiac events and strokes following a rise in PM2.5 air pollution.
Several medical studies presented at the conference showed escalating cases of respiratory, immune disorder, and inflammatory diseases due to air pollution. That's where federal regulators stepped in. In 2009, the Environmental Protection Agency found our air so thick with pollutants that it was violating the Clean Air Act. And with that designation came a 10-year timeline to clean up our air or face sanctions. This is the third year of the conference for Tim Hanlon, who works for the EPA.
The community really is moving in the direction of appreciating the challenge, wanting to rise to the challenge. My concern is, since the original designation in 2009, maybe it hasn't happened quickly enough, and my job is to help keep that going, that the Clean Air Act isn't going to go away, and that time is short.
Hanlon says he's heartened by the progress made on cleaning our air in the last decade, but we're still 2.5 times more polluted than the standards in the Clean Air Act. Wintertime monitors in North Pole have measured the highest concentration of PM2.5 in the country.
There is no doubt that control measures for wood smoke are absolutely necessary to meet the standard. Curtailment programs are not popular. They're both necessary and effective. And the problem you have here in the borough, curtailment programs help solve.
Incentives to use cleaner sources of heat, add new technologies to wood stoves, and install home and school filtration systems were endorsed by several speakers, including representatives from the Woodburners Group. Jesse Shadley of the Woodburners showed the conference that wood is the most economical fuel for home heating. The average borough homeowner pays about $500 more per year for fuel oil than firewood.
It's a tricky situation, but we have to be able to heat our homes and we have to be able to breathe. So hopefully we can all work together as a community and find a solution.
Shadley says part of that solution is the new Air Quality Stakeholders Group, where different community representatives meet monthly to discuss solutions. He says it's been helpful to reconcile trust issues that developed with the curtailment regulations. Wendy Mannon of the Woodburners Group says having a voice at the conference is also part of the solution.
The other side is not the enemy. They are just people who want to be warm, and they are just people who want to breathe clean air. We should not be okay as a community for sacrificing one to get the other. This should not be a case of one side winning and one side losing. There aren't sides.
Recordings of all the conference presentations are on the borough's air quality website, aqfairbanks.com. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
While the Yukon Quest and Iditarod are reducing prize money, the Kuskokwim 300 is going the other way. The K300 Race Committee has announced it's raising the purse for 3 signature events. KYUK's Christy Schallenberger talked with K300 race manager Madeline Reichard about the increase.
The Kuskokwim 300 committee has raised the purse for its 3 largest races for the 5th time in 7 years. Race manager Reichard says it's because of more money from longtime sponsors and some new ones.
There's been a good increase of income from certain sponsors, and we're always looking for new sponsorship.
The committee increased the prize money by $10,000 for each of its signature races. The purse for the biggest race, the Kuskokwim 300, now totals $160,000. The Bogus Creek 150 and Akiak Dash will also see bigger payouts. The Bogus's new purse total is $60,000, and the Akiak Dash's is $30,000. Reichard says that increasing the prize money will hopefully entice more local mushers to compete and continue this iconic Alaska sport.
So everyone's very excited when we raise the purses, because that's more money that we can give back to them and that they can use for dog food and dog gear and sleds and sometimes new dogs.
The K300 and Bogus Creek 150 will start on January 18th, and the Akiak Dash will start on January 19th. Reporting from Bethel with help from Anna Rose MacArthur, I'm Christy Schallenberger.
And I'm Dan Bross.